no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And be seated. God, Father, we thank you for this time of the Word. We thank you that Jesus speaks the very Word of God in flesh. That we might hear His words refreshed this morning, would your Spirit help us to hear, help us to heed, and help us to change and grow. Would we worship in listening to your Word. And Lord, would you assist me to proclaim faithfully for your glory and help of your people. I need you. We need you. Amen. I just want to start by saying thanks to many of you who have asked about a few weeks of vacation. I'm very kind of you, and quite frequently those that I ran into this week or had meetings with asked, well, was it regretful? Was it refreshing for you? And I appreciate the question, and I'm glad to say that the answer was yes. It was very restful and refreshing for me and for the family. But there's something interesting about that question. I had 2 weeks off of work. I'm away from those normal responsibilities. Why wouldn't I be rested? Why wouldn't I be refreshed? Why would you ask that question? And I don't say why, because it's not a good question, it's a very good question. Fourth question, and maybe you understand why I chose this passage for this single week sermon. So we're going into a new season. Fall has arrived. Actually, fall now. Going into the school year, which even if you don't have children in school, it really shapes our schedules. Already, people feel the call and pull of the holidays still months away. There's all the work that needs to get done before winter arrives. It is a busy time of year. We've transitioned from the busyness of summer where we're trying to enjoy the weather through off things and things that we don't normally get to do, to the busyness of fall with schedules and full calendars. And so, consideration of a passage where rest and refreshment is offered to those who labor and are heavy laden, weary, seems appropriate. And perhaps even more so when we think about how bad we in America are at resting in particular. For those who are blessed enough to have paid vacation, and realize not everyone has that, less than half of those that do have that benefit don't take full advantage of it. Companies and businesses pay you to take time off. And more than half the people don't use up their vacation. A third of Americans don't get enough sleep each night. And that number has been consistently on the rise. Yet all of this is in the context of a time in which we have the wealthiest culture and the greatest technological achievements and opportunities for rest and refreshment and relaxation. We have medical treatments to deal with debilitating diseases and sleep disorders. We can buy every manner of mattress and pillow under the sun, and purple ones. We have, for the most part, 40-hour work weeks, which is something new in the relative history of mankind. We have planes and cars and trains to take us to destinations for vacation that we otherwise couldn't reach. We can get away in the winter. We have the delivery of any good we want door-to-door by Amazon and any other company. Dishwashers, laundry machines. We should be the most well-rested, relaxed, at-ease culture ever. And yet that's not the case. When Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden," we hear that invitation as for us. We're not agrarian workers. We're not peasants. We're not slaves. The offer of rest sounds just as good in our ears as it did in the ears of those listening to Jesus those thousands of years ago. Why do we struggle to experience rest? Where can we find it, and how can we enjoy it? Jesus' invitation here in Matthew 11 leads us to consider the causes of our unrest. Why aren't we resting if we have so many opportunities? Where can we find that rest? Where is the source of that rest? And the reality is that the rest that we are seeking is a gift. In this passage, we see much that hints at the causes of our unrest. Now, let me acknowledge many of us are familiar with this passage. We've heard it, even if we probably haven't studied it. And I just want to highlight the slightly absurd here, okay? Because when we read Scripture, we get used to it, and we sometimes forget how alien, how challenging, how weird it is upon the first hearing. Let me start by asking, who normally offers us rest? In our daily life, we're the people that say, you want rest, you want refreshment, you want ease, where do we find that from? Or to mention mattresses, mattress stores, hotels, pool companies, travel agencies. The lifestyles of the rich and the wealthy and the famous implicitly say, buy our products, be like us, and you will find rest. In this passage, who is offering us rest? An itinerant preacher. Maybe you've heard that word itinerant and you don't know what that means. It means someone that walks around from place to place. Jesus is spending his ministry walking from city to city, never staying anywhere for long. He's always moving around. His ministry is dependent on the generosity of others. He is one who is derided by the leaders of the community. Those in charge are harassing him, testing him, asking him hard questions, denouncing what he's doing. And it is a person who has, prior to this passage, said, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." This is the person that says, "You want rest? I got it." And as he does so, maybe the implication is that rest, or our lack of it, is not just a matter of time or opportunity to get sleep, or time or opportunity to take a break from our labor. Maybe the experience of unrest has a deeper root. Getting enough sleep, having enough vacation, time to ourselves, self-care, is not the same as being rested. Because we can't experience rest without peace. We can't experience rest truly if we're anxious, if we're unsure. Vacations can be ruined by concerns about what is happening at work. We lie awake in bed at night because we are replaying a difficult conversation from work, or we're worried about money or concerned over the cough from a little one in the next room. When there is a lack of peace, when there is a lack of security, when we are anxious, when we are heavy laden, when we are laboring unto ourselves, we miss out on rest. When there is a lack of peace, we use the word unrest. There was unrest in the streets of such and such a city after the results of the election. The opposite of peace is unrest. And so Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary." It is a word used to describe those that work out long days or travel long distances. Jesus is inviting people to, inviting them to offer rest and an easy yoke to those who are struggling and toiling. He is offering something to those who are laboring for something. And most of us are laboring for something, journeying for something, and unfortunately, it is usually something that we can't achieve. We are striving for acceptance, a certain bodily image, health. And in the end, we can't achieve these because we're not in control of the circumstances. And no amount of sleep, no amount of vacations or comfy pillows or Netflix really leaves us rested. Most of what we describe as rest and recreation is really a distraction from our present discomfort. It's an illusion of the achievement of peace, not substance of the rest. Consider the heavenward words of Jesus for the invocation in the passage. It seems they're kind of oddly connected here. Jesus is speaking to God, giving him thanks before he offers this invocation, but he says, "Thanks be to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and you have revealed them to little children." The wise and understanding here are those who live according to man's views, who feel they have sufficient knowledge, sufficient understanding to figure out what they need in life. They are those who get it, who are in the know and can get things done, who can take care of themselves, who know how the world works. They are the ones that think they have the system worked out, the ones who think that in their own strength they can accomplish the peace, rest, and refreshment that they seek. And it is what they expect from others at the same time. Where Jesus comes and he uses this language in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Many of us may know what a yoke is. If you don't know what a yoke is, you can go to the Deerfield Fair on Thursday or Friday and see one of them. It's the wooden collar, as it were, to use to allow those to connect them together. And in this day, when Jesus is speaking, each rabbi had a yoke, or they were preaching a way of life. And so the yoke of the kingdom, where this rabbi said, "This is the load that I'm asking you to carry. This is how you experience the benefits of what I'm preaching." And Jesus offers, instead of a yoke that is difficult or uncomfortable or heavy, he says, "Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Just prior to this, Jesus has sent out disciples. And they've come back declaring the kingdom, healing people who are sick, casting out demons. Jesus' disciples, those that had embraced Jesus, who had come to him, are going out and lifting the burdens of others. Contrast that with what Jesus says about the scribes and Pharisees later in this same book in Matthew 23. He says in verse 4, "They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their fingers." Later, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." The scribes and the Pharisees and any legalistic, any religious person who thinks that they can achieve the rest, the vitality, the energy, the acceptance, the honor that they are seeking, not only wearies themselves out as always having to prove themselves, but they place a standard upon others that then wears them out, which drives them into the ground. And Jesus says, "My yoke is not light. My burden is light." Because we know Jesus, he is the one that carries the burden. Jesus praises God because those that are humble and those that are less prone to believe that they can achieve the rest that they are seeking are the ones that Jesus reveals the truth to. They realize they can't rid themselves of anxiety, fear, and insecurity. When a child is afraid, when a child is uncertain, do they say, "I've got this, I'll just work harder"? No, they run to mom, they run to dad, they run to their teacher and say, "I need you to fix this for me." And Jesus rejoices that the Father has chosen to reveal the kingdom to those who realize that their labor and their efforts can't achieve what they're seeking. Many of us have gotten things backward. We want rest. and we assume we will experience it when we achieve the victory over what stands in our way. That we must toil, and then we will achieve, and then finally we will enjoy and rest. But that assumes we can accomplish the circumstances for peace and rest that we're seeking, and we can't. We have lost our enjoyment of rest when Adam and Eve reached for what was not theirs in the garden. They had peace, they had security, they had rest. But in reaching for that fruit, they introduced a realm in which thieves can break in, in which rust and moth can destroy, where disasters take away, where our health is broken, where our wealth is lost, where power is vanity, and we can never have enough. We don't have rest because it isn't within us. It's not within our power to grab. And the more we strive to attain it on our own terms, the more distant it goes. So where is peace? Where is rest? Is it a mindset? Is it a mantra? Well, peace is a person. We find rest in God. God is a source of rest. It's the second point. God is a source of rest. The rest that the people are seeking that they cannot find is because it isn't somewhere out in the world or somewhere deep in themselves accessible through meditation or reflective journaling. The source of rest is God Himself. In verse 27, Jesus says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. And then he says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. God is the one that reveals the kingdom. How does he do it? He does it through his Son, who then reveals it to us. So that when Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, as he makes this offer of rest, he's not just offering a message. He's not just offering an ideology, but in offering himself, he is offering God himself, the Father, whom only Jesus truly knows. And it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit who instituted rest and its enjoyment in the first place. Genesis 2 tells us, and on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. And when you go to Exodus 20 and to the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, it says that we are to rest on the Sabbath as a day that was marked by what? God resting as our example. Rest is something that comes from God. He institutes it. And not just the idea of taking a break from work, but the idea of rest which refreshes and revives. He is the source of life. In Psalm 23, verse 2, and we use Psalm 23 to shape our confession of sin, it says, he makes me lie down. It's the same word for rest. He makes me rest in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. God, who is our shepherd, brings us to the things which are the source of life and refreshment and feeding for us. One of the words that's often translated rest in the Old Testament means to get one's breath back. That we expend our energy, that we expend our vitality, that we expend our breath out in doing things, and so we get rest. Rest comes when we can catch a breath. And that word breath is the same word for soul. God who does what? Who breathes the breath of life into Adam. God is a source of rest because he shows us and gives us rest. He's a source of rest because he gives us life itself. He gives us safety to enjoy that rest. In Deuteronomy 12:9, the land is described as the rest and inheritance of God's people. The place where they will have rest from their enemies. Rest can be something we experience by taking a break, but rest is a sail that people can come and take it away from you. And God is a source of rest because he has power over those that would steal our rest, that would assail us and attack us. Whether it's our health, whether it's provision of life, whether it's the dangers in the world, whether it's our enemies, God has power over that which would try to steal our rest. And He's also the source of rest because He grants us the peace that we need to enjoy the rest and the refreshment. In Psalm 116, verse 7, the psalmist cries out, after describing being assailed by enemies and the struggles, he says, "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." There is something more powerful in what God has done for the psalmist than the attacks and the threats of those outside. Philippians 4, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. When we have God, we can have peace, which means we can enjoy rest from what tires us, drains us of life, drains us of energy. And Jesus is the ultimate source of that rest, because Jesus has come to reveal God Himself to us. And He is, therefore has the rest to give us. Because in Jesus, that which assails our peace and our ability to rest is remedied. He makes peace for us with God by the blood of His cross. And in accomplishing salvation, He gives us sonship, so that our identity is not in the changing inner feelings we have about ourselves, that our identity and sense of who we are is not about what the world says about us, but we have rest to know who we are because God has said of Jesus, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased," and that applies to you and me if we are in Christ. He quiets the disquieting attacks and accusations of the evil one that says, "You will never be good enough. Look what you have done. Look how vile, look how evil, look how sinful you are." He says, "You have been redeemed by the blood of my beloved Son." And Jesus' death and resurrection shouts down Satan. And we instead hear that in Christ we have eternal life that cannot be taken away from us. There are things that are uncertain outside of us, but we can rest. Be content because we have entered into the rest of God, because He has revealed Himself to us and made a way for us in Jesus. So instead of seeking rest in riches, in acceptance, in achievement, in retirement, in working harder, we find rest in God, who is Lord of us and giver of it. Perhaps you've had an experience of children, perhaps even your dog, not sleeping because there's a thunderstorm raging outside. And they come to you for reassurance, for safety, so that they can then actually rest. This is the type of rest that God offers us. But whereas for a parent it's just reassuring words, or maybe a calming embrace, as the hymn by John Newton says, "Let us love and sing and wonder, let us praise the Savior's name, He has hushed the law's loud thunder." God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, defeated the law's thunderous cry of guilty by taking on Himself our penalty. And we know that He was victorious just as surely as when He slept in the bottom of a boat during a storm and then got up and said to the wind and the sea, "Peace, be still," and the wind ceased and there was great calm. God is the source of rest. Jesus reveals that rest. So how do we get it? How do we enjoy it? We have to acknowledge, brothers and sisters, that if we are to enter into His rest, if we are to enjoy this rest, if we are to be refreshed and revitalized, setting aside our heavy burdens and our loads, we need to acknowledge that rest is a gift. Have you ever sat in a church, in a waiting room next to a restless child, and said, "Stop moving, be still. Sit still." How well does that work? Maybe if you amplify it with an angry eyebrow, it lasts a little bit longer, some breaths. But something we acknowledge about kids is they don't have that power to rest, to be still within themselves truly. There are many ways out there that offer rest. you will do this, then you can find rest. If you follow this mindfulness technique, you can be at rest. If you go on this long retreat in the woods, you can get rest. If you work hard enough, then you will have rest. But that's not how it works with Jesus. Jesus doesn't just say, I have rest, and you need it. He doesn't then say, follow these steps, recite this mantra, sleep this many hours. No, he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. He is offering to give what belongs to him to us. I mentioned restless children. When a child is anxious, when a child is upset, when they're over the top, what happens when we allow ourselves to be anxious and upset too? Does that help them? No, in those moments, and they can be few and far between, whether we're a boss, whether we're a parent, where we enter into an anxious situation with someone else, when we can be calm, when we can be quiet, we can offer them that calmness and that quiet so that they can calm down. Jesus says, I have rest. Come to me and I will give it to you. Verse 26 says, this is the gracious will of God. The word grace is essentially gift, the giving, the offering of something undeserved. God's will, the will of God the Father, is to give us something that we don't have because we ruined it in the first place by trying to take something that wasn't ours. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. We find rest, we get peace, we experience refreshment by receiving from the source of rest, God Himself, through restored relationship in Jesus Christ. Our trust that we can't get rest, but Jesus is our rest. Our faith is how we apprehend that free offer of rest. So when our rest is assailed, we remember God. When we identify that our sin and our attempt to be righteous on our own is why we don't have rest, we go to God in Christ and receive the forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ. When we're going through difficult circumstances that make us feel anxious and afraid as if we need to fix things, we go to God in prayer that His Spirit might refresh us and give us a fresh experience of rest and peace to know that God is in charge, that He already knows that He will not leave us nor forsake us. We receive the gift of rest on the Lord's Day when God says, stop. Stop toiling. Stop trying to do things in your own strength. Stop and worship me and rest in me. When time feels like it's ticking, we know we have only so many years, and so we feel like we have to get everything out of it. God reminds us and gives us rest and says, you don't have so many days because you have all of eternity. Your days in this life may be numbered, but your days in me are forever, and so we don't have to be constrained by the timetable of this world, but the timetable of God. All of this is a gift. And instead of looking to find it in ourselves or out in the world, we find rest by trusting in Jesus Christ and His offer of rest. Now, let me provide one warning as we prepare to close. If it's a gift, it means we need to receive it on His terms and we enjoy it on His terms because He is the giver of rest. Rest is not a self-earned right. You may hear the language of self-care or treat yourself. And we need to be cared for. We don't have energy enough. We're limited. We don't have all that we have within ourselves. But if we think that we will get it by seeking it for ourselves, we'll just continue the same cycle. And so it means that we need to be tempted not to justify finding rest because of how difficult things are. What do I mean by that? You know, after a long week, we might say, man, I'm just so tired of this person. I deserve a rest. And so we justify cutting someone out from our lives in the name of rest and refreshment instead of remembering the call of Jesus on our life. Or I've had a long, difficult day. I need rest, so I can justify that third or fourth. fourth or fifth drink.
Or it's been a hard week, and I know I need rest, so I'm going to skip worship, where rest is truly found, to go fishing or camping or hiking, forgetting that recreation, which can be refreshing, speaks of the fact that we need to be recreated. And who is the one that created us in the first place? God Himself. We do have limits. We have physical needs. We need breaks. But if we take them on our own terms, instead of on God's terms, we turn the gift into a wage. And we pursue rest on our own terms. And that will get us right back to where we started. Tired, heavy laden, and burdened, seeking what we can't find in ourselves. St. Augustine said, God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Brothers and sisters, the way to rest is God. The way to God is trust in the salvific work of Jesus, who died for our sins and rose victorious over the grave. And so I want to leave us here with Jesus' offer of rest. Jesus invites us to experience that rest, and we, like those disciples, are supposed to go out into the world offering rest. And oftentimes we will go to people and say, do you want your sins forgiven? And they'll be like, I don't have any sins. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't need forgiveness. I don't know if there is a God. But maybe Jesus' words have an evangelistic opportunity. You go to someone and say, are you tired? Are you exhausted? Are you worn out? Then they'll say, yeah. Are you looking for rest? Are you looking for peace? Most people are going to say yes. And then we can show them the reason they don't have it is because of their sin and their rebellion. And the way to get it back is through a restored relationship with God. And they can experience that through His forgiveness. And then we can share the good news. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Lord, you have offered us rest. You have offered us refreshment. You have offered us safety, peace, and security. And we confess that we often look to it in other places. But thank you, source of life, source of rest, source of security, that you have shown it to us in Christ. Would we receive it not on our terms, but on the terms of trusting in Christ, who gives it to us freely. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's respond to...